Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. There's an enormous amount of news tonight. Enormous. I was originally going to spend 1 hour disclosing to you who John McCain really is, going back to his days of almost sinking the USS Forrestal, which has been covered up by the press, and he's been turned into a war hero, which I will do. Because he sent an editorial to the Russian newspaper Pravda in which he attacked Putin. Well, we deconstructed McCain's letter to Pravda, broke it down to 20 main points. And we're going to show you why everything McCain said about what is going on in the dictatorship of Russia under Putin is also going on in America under the dictatorship of the government media complex, which includes McCain. But in the interim, there's been a report today from the FBI Director James Comey, who gave new details on the Navy Yard shooting, which I will disclose to you momentarily. Navy Yard murderer Aaron Alexis created a webpage with the name Mohammed Salem. That was not disclosed today by the FBI Director. But law enforcement officials told NBC News that Alexis, the Navy Yard shooter, created a webpage with the name Mohammed Salem. Gee, and I thought he was a Buddhist. Unless Buddhists are now named Muhammad, I'm a little confused by this. In other news, the House has voted to end food stamps for 3.8 million deadbeat Americans. And, of course, they were attacked for this by the communist, liberal, laborites on the other side. All they did was say, we got to cut off food stamps somewhere. They cut it off for 3.8 million deadbeats who don't really have any rights to food stamps. And, predictably, Ohio Democrat Marsha Fudge, whoever she is, said, today's vote is not only a waste of time, but an insult to every American in need. Not to be outdone, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said the legislation amounted to snatching food out of the hands of the poor. Right, okay. I wonder how much of it winds up in the hands of Nevada politicians. Food stamps. So that's another story. The contractor behind vetting Snowden vetted the Washington shooter. The U.S. government contractor who vetted it, Edward Snowden, who then leaked information about national surveillance programs, is the same contractor that performed the so-called background check on the Washington Navy Yard shooter. It's called USIS, a unit of Falls Church, Virginia-based Altegrity, Inc., and take a guess how much money of taxpayers' dollars they took last year. The so-called Office of Personnel Mismanagement, which conducts most federal background checks, paid USIS $250 million for its great work last year. This is the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. 855-400-7282. Let's now begin with John McCain, because most of us know he is a twisted sister, something's wrong with him, something doesn't add up, a 40-watt bulb that's burning on 20 watts, something's wrong with McCain. I don't care that he's somewhat of a middle-of-the-road Republican, there's plenty of those. But this is a man who has gone on to the enemy camp and is now becoming a spokesmouth for the enemy camp. So he wrote a letter to Pravda, as I said to you, and in the letter, he tried to criticize Putin. Now, as you well know, John McCain didn't write the letter, none of them do. He had a flack write it for him, and we deconstructed the letter for you on the Savage Nation to show you the absurdity, actually, of John McCain doing a thing like this. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm a talk show host. I've written many books, and the reason I am loved by millions is because of my easygoing style and my keen sense of the absurd. That's what's made me popular. It's because of my easygoing style and keen sense of the absurd that I am perhaps amongst the most popular talk show hosts in the world. That's the truth. So take what I'm about to say to you and see whether I'm serious or not. You can take it any way you want. So McCain's letter is about to be read and deconstructed right here on the Savage Nation. Here's what he wrote. And he wrote this to Putin in Pravda. McCain wrote, "I believe you should live according to the dictates of your conscience, Mr. Putin. not your government. I believe you deserve the opportunity to improve your lives in an economy that is built to last and benefits the many, not just the powerful few. Shall I comment on that? Shall I comment on that? Do I need to comment on that? Do you think in America the economy benefits the many and not just the powerful few? He then wrote, you should be governed by a rule of law that is clear, consistently and impartially enforced, and just. Is that why John McCain supports not enforcing the immigration laws of the United States of America? He then wrote, President Putin and his associates do not believe in these values. They don't respect your dignity or accept your authority over them. He's writing to the Russian people. Is that why McCain supports a Syria strike, even though the majority of the American people do not? McCain then wrote, Putin punishes dissent and imprisons opponents. Is that why he and Obama and the majority in Congress in the IRS targeted Tea Party groups? Is that why McCain says nothing about NSA spying? Next, McCain wrote in Pravda that Putin and his friends rig the elections. Really, Mr. McCain? And what about gerrymandering districts such as those in which Alan West resided in order to throw him out of office because he was a great American? What about the Black Panthers and Acorn, Mr. McCain? Would you say they've been rigging our elections? He then wrote that Putin and his friends control your media. Oh, that's a ripe one, isn't it? That's really a ripe one, Mr. McCain. You grant interviews only to those who will kiss your feet, and you only answer specific questions, and you only grant interviews to specific reporters. How different is that than Russia's Putin, or Putin's Russia, rather? He then said they harass, threaten, and banish organizations that defend your right to self-governance. Really, Mr. McCain? How about the Tea Party attacks by your government and the NSA spying, Mr. McCain? He then wrote that to perpetuate their power, Putin and his friends forced a rampant corruption in your courts and your economy and terrorized journalists who try to expose their corruption. Really, Mr. McCain, when have you or any other Republican ever spoken out on Michael Savage having been banned from entering Britain? Never, I would say, even though you're a great naval hero. Number nine, you say that they throw the members of a punk rock band in jail for the crime of being provocative and vulgar and for having the audacity to protest President Putin's rule. Really, Mr. McCain, how about the man who was thrown in jail here, the anti-Islam filmmaker Nakula, Basile Nakula, who did a video called Innocence of Muslims about what went on in Benghazi? Wasn't he thrown in jail, Mr. McCain? You then say they write laws to codify bigotry against people whose sexual orientation they condemn. Is that right, Mr. McCain? Well, in the case of your administration, you are punishing the religions and churches in this country that do not follow your liberal doctrines. You see, I'm saying Mr. McCain because he's part of the problem. You get it? I will continue this on the Savage Nation, the John McCain Pravda list, but I'm running short of time because so many of the statements that McCain wrote are so easily deconstructed and applied to our government here that I must continue when I come back. But before I do, I want to go back to McCain's alleged heroism during his years as a naval aviator. So let me tell you about the USS Forrestal fire, which has been swept under the rug. Many of you don't know that McCain initiated a fire aboard the USS Forrestal, and I'll tell you why I say he did it. The ship almost sank, 134 sailors were killed, and 161 were injured on the aircraft carrier USS Forrestal in 1967 after a Zuni rocket was discharged on the flight deck. Now, the official fact check issue on this says that it happened by accident. However, surviving crewmen and those who investigated the Forrestal fire reported that John McCain deliberately wet-started his A4E Skyhawk to shake up the guy in the F4 Phantom behind his A4. Wet starts are done either deliberately, where the starter motor switch allows kerosene to pull in the engine and give a wet start, or it could have happened accidentally. But what happens is it shoots a large flame from the tail of the aircraft. This is while his plane was sitting on the deck of the aircraft carrier. It is believed by many crewmen and investigators that John McCain deliberately wet-started his A4E to shake up the guy in the plane behind his A4. Wet starts, you see, shoot a large flame from the tail of the aircraft. In McCain's case, this wet start apparently cooked off and launched the Zuni rocket from the rear F4 that touched off the explosions. In July 29th of 1967, McCain's accident killed 134 sailors and injured 161. Now, you may say anyone can make a mistake. That is true. However, such a mistake, so far as I know, never happened before or after on a U.S. aircraft carrier. Is there a pattern of this kind of behavior in McCain's background? Yes, there is. During the course of his flying career with the U.S. Navy, John McCain was involved in at least 5 major mishaps or crashes involving his aircraft. You hear about this? Did you know that he was involved in a crash in the Corpus Christi, Texas, on March 12, 1960, while training? And the AD-6 Sky Raider trainer that he was flying crashed because McCain failed to maintain an airspeed above the stall speed. It attributed the accident to the preoccupation of the pilot, coupled with a power setting too low to maintain level flight. The single-engine prop plane crashed and sank to the bottom of Corpus Christi Bay. McCain was rescued by a helicopter after swimming to the surface. The accident report excluded a series of other possible factors, including engine failure and disorientation of the pilot due to vertigo. It recorded pilot error as the sole contributing factor to the accident. I don't think you know much about that. In 1965, McCain had another accident with a T-2 trainer jet while flying between New York City and Norfolk, Virginia. The Naval Aviation Safety Center was unable to determine the cause of that accident or the degree of pilot error. Lastly, McCain wrote later that his engine flamed out and he had to eject. In his autobiography, McCain recalls another mishap around December 1961. Quote, when I knocked down some power lines while flying too low over southern Spain. My daredevil clowning had cut off electricity to a great many Spanish homes and created a small international incident. The reason McCain was not thrown out of the Naval Aviation Corps is because his father was a distinguished admiral and his grandfather was a more distinguished commander in the U.S. Navy. John McCain otherwise would have been cashiered out of the Navy, and he would not be a U.S. senator today taking the side of the enemy. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation to take your calls at 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You don't want to have a repeat again some years from now of another group of people coming to this country illegally. So that's a precondition. We can do it. We have the technology and we have the capabilities. Second of all...
See, when he lies, people... he sucks in a lot of saliva. This is the Savage Nation. We are at about 18,000 feet. We should attain cruising altitude in about 12 minutes, at which time I will notify you that you can take off your seatbelts, settle back, have a beverage and a cigarette if you prefer. You can still smoke on my plane. There is not a no-smoking rule on Savage Airways. Settle back and relax because I'm trying to give you information that is really up to the level of the last word in talk radio. And I'll tell you, what I dug up for you today with my great staff on McCain should be circulated widely. You should pick it up. We're going to put it on michaelsavage.com and you should send it to friends on social media. This guy, having crashed his planes, having set off the Zuni rocket, having almost sunk an aircraft carrier, has no business in the Senate, and he certainly has no business criticizing Putin, because virtually everything he said that is going on in Russia under Putin is certainly going on in America under the Obama-McCain troika. There's actually another person in that troika who I don't have to mention. You can add your favorite name. The phone number is 855-407-282. Let's begin with a few calls, then I'll continue deconstructing McCain's letter to Pravda on the Savage Nation. KTBL, New Mexico. KTBL, Daniel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Savage. Sorry, a little bit off topic. I just finished your first novel, and I absolutely love it. And when you said your book should be a movie, I totally agree.
Absolutely. Abuse of Power is a fabulous movie. In fact, I did scenes for it with my own video camera when I wrote it. Unfortunately, because of my conservative politics, the Weinsteins of Hollywood, the Caesars have said niet. Like Khrushchev, they banged their shoe down on the tables in Hollywood, and they said that man will never be produced in Hollywood. So I don't care. One day I may do it as a video, put it up on the internet myself. It's that simple. You know the cost? I don't want to get into it, but I could produce that movie myself. I know a friend who had a best-selling movie in the movie theaters. He told me that I could produce a feature for $300,000 in video and launch it on the internet today. I could bypass the studios, and I could bypass movie theaters. Do you know that?
Oh, wow. You know...
So that's one day I may do Abuse of Power in A Time for War. And I don't know who's going to play Dover. I got to get a young woman to play Dover. We'll find them. They're pretty readily available, the naval intelligence women. Maybe someone fired. 855-407-2822. Andrew on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I was in awe of your list, your comparison, the filmmaker being locked up, the NIS scandal, and the Tea Party harassment.
Yeah, let me repeat it. John McCain wrote an attack on Putin for the Russian people in Pravda. And in the letter, he says they throw the members of a punk rock band in jail for the crime of being provocative and vulgar and for having the audacity to protest President Putin's rule. And I said, what about here, Mr. McCain, where anti-Islam filmmaker Nakula Basili Nakula, who did the video Innocence of Muslims about Benghazi, which allegedly was connected to the Benghazi attack, is thrown in jail here in America? How different is that than what's going on in Russia? What, are people stupid? They don't see this?
It was brilliant. And I'm driving around, I was in awe of it, but at the same time, I wanted to punch the window because so few...
Good. That's good. That's good radio. Just don't punch the window. And don't go home and kick your dog, and don't slap your girlfriend. Whatever you do, go out and buy yourself a wife beater shirt and put it on yourself and look in the mirror and do Tai Chi. That's funny. Get a wife beater shirt, look in the mirror, and do Tai Chi. I don't think that's a bad line.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'll give you the latest news headlines in this hour and go back to the, I would say, deconstructing McCain's letter to Pravda in a little while. Here's some headlines. John Kerry gives statement on Syria. Well, that's worthless. Mars methane mystery deepens. The only thing I can figure out is that Larry David and his family took a secret trip to Mars after visiting Katz's Delicatessen. 2013 National Book Award long list for fiction announced. The titles are Why I Hate America, How to Hate America, You Should Hate America, Hating America, 50 Reasons to Hate America, Death to the American Family, and Why America is Damned. Those are the books that are on the long list for fiction in the new America. 855-400-7282. Let's go to the callers on the program. Alaska Marty, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Michael, God bless you. You're the only one that has come out with McCain's record of his hot dogging.
Well, do you happen to know much about his past, or is this the first time you heard it?
No, I am a U.S. Navy submariner's widow.
Oh, so you heard about this from your husband, your deceased husband, right?
That's right. And plus, I know a lot of Navy vets and Marine vets, and they know about it too.
Right. He was a daredevil, which on one hand, being a daredevil is required to be a great naval aviator. That's number one. But there's an extremely razor-thin line between being a daredevil and being capable of controlling those instincts to land a jet on a carrier, you know, the tailhook. It's one of the most difficult jobs on Earth, and I've always admired them. I think that they're amongst the most skilled people on the planet. A combination of, you have to be a ballet dancer, a computer expert, a warrior, all in one. Am I right?
Right.
And McCain apparently had some of those subsets in his skills, but not all of them. And he could not control his daredevil instincts. He was last in his class at Annapolis. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Now, the reason I'm doing this on McCain is because I've had enough of people holding back on him simply because he suffered so badly in Vietnam. That you should blame the Vietnamese for, that they tortured him. But that doesn't give him a pass to become an outright enemy of America, which is what he has become. This SOB, this old war hawk, almost ignited World War III with that strange sisterhood of his with, Lindsey Graham. They were on the warpath to bomb Syria when the whole world said, halt, slow, don't do it. Am I right?
Right.
So how do you explain McCain doing it? Because he has no judgment. When I was working for my PhD at the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition, my lead professor, who was a great man, said to me, I remember we were having lunch, and he said to me, one of the first things to go in the elderly is their judgment. I didn't quite know what he meant because I was still in my 30s at the time. But I think that McCain's judgment has clearly gone. He doesn't even understand what he is saying half the time. He is too old to be in the Senate. I think there needs to be an upper age limit in the U.S. Senate, by the way, seeing what McCain is doing. We cannot have these octogenarian types running around, shooting off their mouths when so much is at stake. He's become a useful tool of Obama and the New World Order of psychopaths.
He has. Also, are you aware that when he did come back, that his father would not allow him to be debriefed?
What do you mean? I don't know what you... What do you mean, debriefed?
Debriefed. They tortured.
By who? What do you mean? He wouldn't let the Navy debrief McCain as to what went on in the camps?
When he was tortured, anyhow, they also go through another psychological debriefing to take away what they brainwashed into him.
So his father wouldn't let them deprogram that?
And
well, okay, that could have been a combination of his father's love for his son, not wanting him to be retortured by the American Psychiatric Association in the military. Anyway, look, I think enough is said here. The man is senile. He's crossed over to the other side. He wants to flood America with illegal aliens. He wants to drop bombs instead of negotiating. And virtually everything the man does is questionable as far as I am concerned. Thanks for the call. 855-407-2822. 855-400-7282. We'll go on with the McCain letter to Pravda in a moment. Let's go to some callers, though. KLIF in Dallas, Texas. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I want to congratulate you and your staff on your research on this. This is the first I'd heard this on McCain, and it's quite uplifting, as is every one of your shows, and I try to listen just as often as I can.
Well, I love hearing that. Let me tell you, I work very hard at my show. This is an all-day job for me and three men who work full-time pulling, you know, stories for me. So when I saw McCain's letter to Pravda, I read it, and what struck me was almost everything that he wrote about what's wrong with Russia under Putin applies to America under Obama and the liberals like McCain. So what we did was is that we broke it down into 20 main points, and then we showed where in America the same thing is happening.
Wonderful. You did wonderful research. I just finished A Time for War, and it was a page-turner. I could not...
Wow. Well, I'm hearing a lot of people are suddenly reading A Time for War, the paperback, and I'm really happy that people are catching on to my fictionalized view of the world. Jim, thanks for listening on KLIF. It's a pleasure to be on the radio. It really is. And I've spoken to... people. I'm starting to sound like Wallbang. I said, already. I better not listen to him ever again. I never used even in the first grade. I was the was beaten out of me in the first grade. The teacher said, never say My father said, don't stand there and say What do you want to say? Apparently, a Wallbanger in Rockville Center didn't get that treatment. He's still doing the job. But look, it's doing now. Oh, God, it's going to be like a tick. I'm going to have to go to a doctor to get rid of the And just before, anyway, 855-407-2822. I'm just kidding around now. You know, it's a beautiful day out here. One day I will tell you what happened between last Wednesday and yesterday. Thus far, the toughest week of my entire adult life. I have never faced more stress than I have in the last week. And it's on a minor key compared to real accidents or cancer or a heart attack. I understand that. So don't understand. Don't think I can't, you know, sort out relativity of stress. But for me, what I've been going through, and I can't even tell you what it was. I will. in a few weeks when it's way behind me, I'll be able to look back and put it in context. So today I come into the city, into San Francisco, and luckily so far there have been no naked people on street signs closing down the downtown. You know, so far the traffic's moving as usual. So I got to tell you an incident just as a break. I have no patience to wait in restaurants, as you know. I just don't have the patience for it. So I become somewhat of a gourmet of cheap like takeout stands, whether it be, what's the foot-long sandwich for $8? What is it called? I love Subway. So I have Teddy with me today in the city. I don't go to Subway because I can't get him a sandwich. They don't make an inch-long sandwich, so I couldn't go in there. So instead, I went into a sushi place, which I will warn you, never go into this sushi place in San Francisco, which is adjacent to the Hyatt Hotel in an alley where there's a pizzeria. I went in there once before, and when I get very hungry, before lunch, I sometimes have some sushi, even though it's on my no-eat list. They're mainland Japanese, and they bow and scrape. So I think, all right, just give me the $8.95. One deluxe! So she brings in the deluxe of the chicken teriyaki. It has this, it has that. I went outside and sat with the dog, and I start to eat the chicken, and I realized that it was all fat and grizzle that was thrown sauce on it. So I sat there, I ate the rice, I was so hungry. I ate the tempura, and then I got angry, and I said, I'm not going to take this. I go back in, and I say to him, hey, I open the tray up, and I show it to him, Mr. Tokyo, and I said, it's all fat and waste. He says, no, all meat. I said, it's all meat? Why don't you give it to your mother? He says, no, it's all meat. I said, why don't you give it to your mother, or why don't you eat it? I won't eat it. Send it to your mother, I said. And I walked out. I wouldn't go any further than that because I'm not, let us say, as hot-tempered as I used to be 20 years ago. It would have gotten a little hotter than that if I were younger. There could have been a little throw against the wall, a little grab of the collar, but I don't do that anymore. I just left it with him in front of other people on his counter. So he said, well, why are you telling me this? Because I'm showing you what they do to people in this city, maybe in your city. They will spit on you. They'll strip you naked in this country and throw you on the third rail if they could get away with it. At all times, do what the Boy Scouts do. You must be prepared to defend yourself, even if it's in a sushi joint in an alley in San Francisco. So I said, well, I'm still hungry. Now what am I going to do? I said, Teddy, come on. You didn't need anything. Let's go to McDonald's where you can get a decent meal for your money. So I go to McDonald's. He looks forward to it. I say, hamburger, hamburger. I get him the junior burgers, no salt, no pepper, no mustard, no sauce. I get him two of those. And I think then I bought myself yet another lunch that poisoned me. And I said, what the heck are you doing? You wrote books on nutrition. I said, why am I eating French fries in this garbage? And you don't want to hear the answer? He said, like, on my right shoulder was the conscience saying, why are you eating that bad food? It will clog your arteries. It is bad for you. On the left side was, go ahead. How long do you think you're going to live? And the other one says, you shut up. He shouldn't be eating that. The other one says, are you crazy? Go ahead, eat it. Obama's such a horrible president. There could be a civil war in this country in 6 months. What do you care if your arteries are a little occluded by that point? So it went on like that for a while as I was eating the French fries. And before I knew it, I was up here in front of the microphone giving you the latest headlines and the latest scoop on things going on in the United States of America and the world. 855-400-7282. WRKO! We have a Boston listener. We have a Boston listener on the great RKO. Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Doctor, I was just wondering, we worry about people like McCain, but, you know, after a while, they become useless, and, you know, you got to label them. And I was just wondering, you know, should we hang something around their neck, you know, a putzy, schmuckless Schmedrick?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people are very sensitive to McCain because he was so badly tortured in Vietnam that we have great sympathy for him, and we all revere and love our warriors, especially those who suffered so much, as we should. However, when they enter such positions as the U.S. Senate, and they've moved over to the enemy camp, you can no longer give them a pass, is how I look at it, Kevin. Am I wrong or right?
Well, you try to give them a pass, but, you know, you can't give them a pass forever. I mean, you know, Kerry got a pass in Vietnam, but that didn't help him either. I think what we...
No, but look how the media is covering Kerry. They're calling him a war hero.
That's ridiculous.
By the way, have you noticed that the media has dropped the Navy story, the shooting, after 3 days? Do you know why? Can you give me three reasons why the useless midstream media has dropped the U.S. Navy massacre story? I will give you three of them. The shooter was not white. He did not use an assault weapon, and he was on medication. Does that make sense to you, Kevin?
Well, I think the fourth one also, Doctor, would be that he's got a secret clearance.
Yeah, and the fourth one is that he played violent video games. The fifth one is the secret clearance. The sixth one is he had a secret website under which his name was Mohammed Salem, which just came out today on NBC News. First I heard of it, right? Navy Yard murderer Aaron Alexis created a webpage with the name Mohammed Salem, and yet the midstream media said that he was a Buddhist. He was not a violent man. He was a Buddhist. Really? In fact, Muslim Brotherhood front groups were concerned that it was jihad. Example, Hamas CAIR canceled a press conference this Tuesday that was going to expose the so-called funding of the Islamophobia industry. There is no funding. There is no funding. But they backed off on their big lie, just like the so-called Million Muslim March, which attracted 30 malcontents. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's a very sad time to be in America. I know a lot of people who are very concerned, not only about Obama. He is clearly what he is. But when you have an extremist like McCain working for the other side, pretending to be on this side of things, you have to attack the enemy within first. Obama is very well known for what he is. Obama said he's a transformational president, that he wants to transform America. Well, Mr. Obama, many of us thought this was the greatest country on earth. And as I asked you in many of my books, what is it that you want to transform us into? What is your model, Mr. Obama? Is it Beijing? Was it Stalin's Russia? Was it Pol Pot's Cambodia? What is your model, Mr. Obama? You never describe where you want to take us. You see, you have no plan. You're just a hater, Mr. Obama. You hate the country, but you don't even know why. It's encoded in your DNA, is what I wrote. So he said he's a transformational president, and he's well on the road to transforming us into an unrecognizable state, unrecognizable nation. You won't recognize this country unless he's impeached. Now, I'm going to have more on this another time. I know that there aren't and would not be enough votes to actually bring an impeachment against Obama, but I know that there are enough votes to bring impeachment hearings, and during the impeachment hearings, a lot would come out about him that's been hidden, about his past, present, and future. His agenda would be destroyed. He would never get another issue passed while he's being under impeachment hearings. Never. Forget about seizing our guns or flooding America with 60 million illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico. It won't happen. That's why we need impeachment hearings immediately. And we only need 30 men to do it. That's all we need, 30. All you need are the hearings. But that's why I'm saying you don't have to say, well, you know, can you really finish it up? Shall I continue on the McCain-Pravda letter, my deconstruction of it? John on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi, Mr. Savage. I just came back from Europe. I just arrived back today. And I just heard you say on the radio here that the press was misreporting that the shooter at the Navy Yard was using an assault rifle, was using an AR-15. It was all over the place. I mean, where?
Sir, that was a lie. That was put out by the mainstream media. He did his damage with a shotgun, according to the FBI director who gave a news conference today. So, of course, the hysterical leftists in Europe would say AR-15.
They were quoting American sources.
And what sources would they be? Maureen Dowd of the New York Times?
Exactly.
Okay, so what I'm saying is they picked up a lie and they ran with it. He didn't have an assault weapon. The FBI director himself said he only used a shotgun.
Yeah, there's no integrity in the media anymore. I'm fed up.
No? Okay, well, I'm glad you listened to my show to get to the bottom of things. I do the best I can. Here's a shocker. Pope Shock says church should stop obsessing over gays and abortion. We have to find a new balance, said the Pope. That's interesting. That's an interesting one. So now the Catholic Church is in favor of abortion? You talk about a new marketing campaign. That's interesting. How do Catholics feel about the church and it shouldn't obsess over abortion? That's interesting. I guess the Pope wants to decapitate the Catholic Church itself. See, there's a limit to liberalism. At a certain point, liberalism becomes suicide. What is the point of a Catholic Church if it's not conservative? What does it stand for? Rituals? And wafers? What is it for? Anyway, let's move on. Let us move on the Savage Nation. KSFO, Nathan, you're on the Savage Nation on a different topic. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. My pediatrician prescribed, my wife and I, when we our last visit, he had our four-month-old son. He recommended us to be on solid foods. So he recommended us to go to Whole Foods and get an organic avocado and start feeding that to him and, you know, eat organic foods.
No, there's nothing wrong with organic foods, but your child must be given a mixed diet, not just avocados. Your child's not a parrot.
We're starting with peas and butternut squash and basically...
All right, well, I don't want to go into diet right now, but let me tell you something. Here's what I learned when I was getting my doctorate in nutrition at the University of California. You start feeding your children what you eat. You mash it up for them so they become like you. They eat a normal diet that way. I'm not talking about scotch and cigarettes. You give the baby food that you are eating. The baby is part of your family. You don't have to buy little strained carrots in a jar created for you by a company. Start with mother's milk, breastfeeding, colostrum. Work your way up from there to bananas. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This hour is brought to you by the United States Navy. In honor of the United States Navy, with the exception of John McCain, who, in my opinion, has basically gone over to the other side. And today, I'll admit it, I have attacked him. Let's not mince words. I'm attacking him for a couple of reasons. I don't know him personally, but I think that his behavior has become so shameful and strange, and he has become sort of a sacred cow amongst conservatives because of his service and his torture, that no one dares say what needs to be said. The man today wrote an editorial in Pravda trying to attack Putin. And, of course, they don't write their own things, but it was so glaringly absurd for McCain to point things out that are wrong with Russia when I saw the very same things going on here. For example, I'm going to run through some of the other points now. Here's what McCain wrote in Pravda about Putin. He said, President Putin and his associates do not believe in these values. They don't respect your dignity or accept your authority over them. That is why he supports a serious strike, even though the majority of the people do not. That's McCain. So now let's listen to McCain in clip two.
Ultimately, you listen to your constituents, but you've also got to make some decisions about what you believe is right for America. And that's the same for me as President of the United States. There are a whole bunch of decisions that I make that are unpopular, as you well know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a great man.
Our polling operations are pretty good.
You're a great man. You're a great American.
I have a pretty good sense of
all right, turn it off. The point is that McCain wrote in Pravda that Putin and his associates do not believe in American values. They don't respect your dignity or accept your authority over them. And yet we just heard Obama doing exactly what he says Putin is doing in Russia, right? In the next sentence, which I deconstructed, McCain wrote, in Pravda, trying to attack Putin, he said, in Russia they punish dissent and imprison opponents. And I pointed out, how about the IRS under Obama targeting Tea Party groups and the spying of the NSA on Americans? Listen to the montage of people targeted by the IRS in clip two.
We applied for our tax status in 2010. We waited 18 months. They sent these letters that wanting a lot of information they weren't allowed to ask us.
Send us your Facebook pages, your Twitter pages. And I said, does that include personal pages? And they said everything. They wanted to know your personal relationships with politicians and political parties. And I asked, what would happen if I don't send this to you? And they said, they made an insinuation like, look, it can be considered perjury if you omit things from the IRS. And that carries with it jail time. I'm a pregnant stay-at-home mother on one income. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not doing anything. I stopped.
They punish dissent and imprison opponents. Really, only in Russia? Is that true, Mr. McCain? They control your media. How about in America, Mr. McCain? In line 9, you say that they throw the members of a punk rock band in jail for the crime of being provocative and vulgar and for having the audacity to protest Putin's rule. How about Obama throwing anti-Islam filmmaker Nakula Basile Nakula, who did Innocence of Muslims, in jail? He was a Coptic Christian. He was thrown in prison by your wonderful friend, Barack Obama. Really? No kidding. So now let's go down the list. You said that he has given you, meaning Putin has given you, an economy that is based almost entirely on a few natural resources that will rise and fall with those commodities. Its riches will not last. And while they do, they will be mostly in the possession of the corrupt and powerful few. Oh, really? In the hands of the corrupt and powerful few? You mean like your friends at Solyndra? Or your refusal to build the Keystone XL pipeline so that your corrupt friends in the green mailing industries of, like Solyndra, wind, solar, blah, blah, blah? That's corruption. Let's listen to the next report on Solyndra corruption in clip 2.
Solyndra still owes American taxpayers $500 million, but we caught them destroying millions of dollars worth of parts.
They are the latest, most cutting-edge solar technology, and they're being tossed into dumpsters. Solyndra paid at least $2 million for the specialized glass. And Solyndra still owes the German company that made these another $8
million. We're on private property right now. I need to leave.
Solyndra is not commenting, but court documents reveal the company got permission to abandon the high-grade glass. The court agreeing that it was of inconsequential value because of the cost of storing them exceeds their value.
Did you hear what I just said? McCain, the liar and fool and traitor, wrote an editorial in Pravda and said about Putin, he has given you an economy that is based entirely on a few natural resources that will rise and fall with those commodities. Its riches will not last, and while they do, they will be mostly in the possession of the corrupt and powerful few. And I just showed you what is going on in America under Obama and his cronies in the fraudulent solar wind industries. Now let's go on to this. He says capital is fleeing Russia, which, lacking a rule of law and a broad-based economy, is considered too risky for investment and entrepreneurism. Really, Mr. McCain, how about your friends sending businesses overseas to escape taxes, Mr. McCain? Let's go down the list. Let's see what else we have some sound bites for. I think there are a few more that may... That's it for right now. He then says, in number 17, he says, Putin has made Russia a friend to tyrants and an enemy to the oppressed, and untrusted by nations that seek to build a safer, more peaceful and prosperous world. Is that why you and Mr. Lindsey Graham support Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the downfall of Egypt, Libya, and Syria, Mr. McCain? In number 18, well, you get the picture. How about 19? How about 20? How about number 19? It says, you say Putin doesn't believe that human nature, at liberty, can rise above its weaknesses and build just, peaceful, prosperous societies, or at least Putin doesn't believe Russians can. So he rules by using those weaknesses, by corruption, repression, and violence. That came jumping off the page to me, because it sounds just like Obama and the Republicans, by and large, today. You then concluded by saying that Putin rules for himself, not for you. Really, Mr. McCain, how about your friend Mr. Obama on his vacations? How about him abusing the White House for parties? How about him taking Air Force One, Air Force Two, and Air Force Three on many trips? How about him abusing the taxpayers with these endless vacations? How about him flying his dog over to Martha's Vineyard on an Osprey for a vacation? Would you say he is ruling for himself or the American people, Mr. McCain? Well, anyway, you get the picture. It's pretty sad, isn't it? But this is only one show with a small production staff, and what I just did for you could have been done by 60 minutes if it wasn't really 60 seconds. 855-400-7282. We have a man, Daniel, on KSFO in San Francisco, who was on the Forrestal when McCain set off the Zuni rocket that almost sank the ship. Daniel on KSFO, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I just, you know, I actually got on board when it got back after it blew up. And we spent a year rebuilding it.
It cost over $500 million to rebuild that ship from McCain's mistake.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just thinking, okay, this guy's a pilot. I know all the pilots. I'm on a flight deck. I know how dangerous it is, all of that stuff. But, you know what?
Well, has an accident like that ever happened before in the Navy or since?
No.
No, and McCain had a reputation for being a daredevil and a hot-dogging pilot who sank a plane before, crashed a plane and sank it in Corpus Christi Harbor, cut power lines in Spain. And now here we have him, according to people on that ship, he hot-started or wet-started his Skyhawk, and it shot flames out into the face of the plane sitting behind them on the deck, an F-4, and that heat set off the Zuni rocket, which caused 100-and-some-odd deaths and almost sank the ship. And the only reason McCain was not thrown out of the Naval Air Service is because his father was a top admiral. That's a fact.
Well, you know what? All I want to do is say that, you know, I'm sorry that he had to go through all the stuff at the Hilton.
Yep.
But he sucks.
That's all. In plain English. That's right. Just like the sushi I ate today at Sushi Kinta, whatever it is, next to the Hyatt Hotel. Never eat there. Never eat there. Google it. Never go in that place. Are you listening to me? I went into that. They gave me grizzle. Grizzle. Someone said, I'll never eat at the Sushi Kinta on the lane next to the... I said, how'd you find it? Mike Sergio in New York is listening on ABC. He's a movie guy. And I said, how did you find it when I just mentioned it not by name? He said, this is what he says. He says, Michael, like you, I listen very carefully and I think three-dimensionally. I learned that talent from growing up on the streets of New York City. And oh, yeah, then there's Google Maps. No, I get even. I don't get mad. I get even. I went back. I said, you gave me just fat and skin here in your little plate of chicken teriyaki. And he says, oh, no, there's all meat there. Now, I don't give a guy a third chance when he screws me with food. It's a very personal thing to me. So I opened it up in front of the customers and said, no, it's all fat and all grizzle. Why don't you feed it to your mother, I said. He said, no, he said, it's all meat. I said, then you eat it. And I left it on the counter in front of everybody, like the rotten, stinking dog food that he thinks he can just serve people here because they're all so liberal, they bow down to people from the third world. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you with the hands in front of them when they walk into an Asian restaurant. The stupid white liberals destroyed this country at every level. Oh, thank you for a glass of water. Oh, thank you for the napkin. And they bring them a chopstick. Oh, thank you for the chopstick. The Asians look at them like they're morons. Then they give them grizzle with fat in it, and they thank them for the fat that they just gave them because they're afraid to say the food stinks. Well, yeah. That's it. You say, well, why are you railing from McCain to sushi? Don't you trivialize yourself? You know what the answer is? No. Not really. Because to me, a bad meal is as important to me as a bad senator. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
And the reason I'm so beloved in the media and so hated by the political class is really simple, actually, when you think about it. I mean, think about it. I'm hated by the politicians and kind of loved by the people who listen to the show. And it's going to get bigger as the, God willing, as the year goes on, assuming I'm still here. The fact is that I've written many books and I have a humorous streak. And I have a certain easygoing style on the radio when I don't lose it, when I don't get mad. And I have a keen sense of the absurd, which make me very popular. You see, there's not much of a sense of the absurd in conservative talk radio. They're very stuck in the mud, you know, guys. They're not bad guys, but they're the kind of stuck in the mud guys that don't, you know, breed the kind of audience I have. Well, let's say attract. I'll give you an example. An article comes out today, top Congress moneymakers. So naturally, it's to show you the Republicans are the richest, right? Daryl Issa is worth $355 million. Number two is Michael McCall of Texas, worth $114 million, and so on. So you go down the list, and you see number nine is Senator Dianne Feinstein. She's only number nine at $41 million. But they don't say what Richard Blum is worth, the husband. I mean, what do they think, was stupid? $41 million is a piker's amount of money compared to what that family is worth. Or you go down the list to others on the list who have been playing the nepotism game. You know, you put the old lady into Congress, and then you rake in the money on the other side. So naturally they skew it, and they say, ooh, it's all Republicans who are rich. Nah, not the Democrats. Yeah, right. As if there's something wrong with being rich. It's how you make it, my friend, not how much you have. It's whether you stole it or not, or you created body armor that didn't work in Iraq. You know, that kind of thing. It's real simple, or shopping carts to the moon. So, yeah, all right, rich again. 50 richest members of Congress, the wealth keeps growing. How many of them paid taxes, though? How many of them paid full 39.7 or whatever, 39.5, as opposed to dividend income, how many transferred it to their husbands or wives, whatever? It's all a game, and it goes on and on. You know why? Because we don't have an Elliot Ness. You see, remember the show in, years ago called The Untouchables, when the FBI was created with Elliot Ness? Elliot Ness was, he went after the Untouchables like, who was it, Frank Nitti and Al Capone. Who is the Elliot Ness of our America today? There are none. You're telling me the head of the FBI? Well, we're going to come back from the lanes now, the girls and I, we're going to look into that. Yeah, we'll look into that subway to nowhere. Yeah, nowhere in a false construction. The construction jobs, the train to nowhere. Yeah, you'll look into it. Malarkey, you'll look into it. There is no Elliot Ness in the FBI. There is no Elliot Ness in the NSA. There is no Elliot Ness anywhere because Obama is a dictator who made certain that any Elliot Ness who could have been there was decapitated by being thrown out of the services. And the same is going on in every branch of the U.S. Armed Services. Every potential hero has been thrown out of the military or forced out of the military. Anyone who would have stood up to the coming dictatorship in this country. And I will repeat again. I started to say it last night and I got sidetracked by my brilliant mind. Remember I warned you what Bush would do in the last 3 months of his administration? Those of you who listened to me for all these years, I said it was in August, September. I said he's not through yet. Do you remember what Bush did in the last 3 months or his handlers? Remember how they crashed the economy? They did it. They crashed the economy by letting Wall Street go haywire. Okay, and then Obama became president. Well, Obama doesn't have just 3 months left. He has 3 months left of year number one of term number two. Let me remind you, Obama has 3 years and 3 months left. And if you think that what Bush did in 3 months was catastrophic, you are right. But you haven't seen anything yet as to what Obama is liable to do and likely to do in 3 years and 3 months, especially when there is no press to rein him in and no opposition party to speak out against it. It's very worrisome indeed. And this is not simply rhetoric, nor am I trying to be comedic in the political arena at this point. I may have a sense of the absurd, but I think it's quite absurd that we have no Elliot Ness. And I will ask again, who is watching the watchers? Who will watch the watchers? The girls and I are coming back from the lanes. All right, clear the area. We have an APB out on the shooter now. All right, get out of the way. The girls and I are here. Look at the lapel. Look at the epaulettes we have. We're all the heroes now. Yeah, get out of the way. The girls and I are here. Very funny. Real sense of the absurd.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
98% of the inventions that we use were invented by the evil white males. We'll go through the list again for you one day. Volt, European actually. Watt. Let's go down the list one day. Faraday. The evil white male that destroyed the world. We'll go down the list. It's a beautiful night for me. Here I am in San Francisco. I'm looking out of the window from a high-rise studio. And I got to give you the picture right now. It's like a mood hit me just now. It's so beautiful. It's dusk. The America's Cup, the biggest bust in the history of San Francisco Bay, is coming to an end. I have no idea why they brought it here. The city is so backwards. They so fought Mr. Ellison. They tried to make him lose. They ruined it. The communists who run San Francisco, the reprobates, who have never run businesses in their life, did everything they could to kill the America's Cup, and kill it they did. They drove away people with super yachts who wanted to come here and watch it. How many hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions would have been spent? The idiots drove them away. The only people watching it were the homeless bums down on the waterfront. By and large, the bums, the graffiti makers, the spitters, the shooters. They drove the people away from this nun event. Now, I'm a boater. I wasn't even interested in the America's Cup. I have no idea why anybody would watch it except on television. But nevertheless, it's a beautiful night. It's dusk in San Francisco. I see the lights on the Embarcadero. The bay is a very, very dark, almost bluish gray, almost blending into the mountains of Angel Island and beyond, the Marin Headlands. There's Alcatraz, I can see, with the lights on top of Alcatraz. And the night is pregnant with possibility for me, because when the show is over, I will put on my hat and duck down out of the studio and go walk the streets and just look around at people who don't know me, but tonight, since I'm with Teddy, they may. They know him. They don't know me. So it's a beautiful night, and I felt very good, and I didn't know what was wrong, because I normally don't feel good. I surged for a moment. My mood surged so well that I didn't recognize myself. I didn't know whose body I was inhabiting. I had no idea why I felt good. It's like the old Buddy Hackett joke. I love it. No one knows who he is. He was a great comedian in the 50s. I loved him as a kid. He had such a crazy sense of humor. I remember he told a joke that I never forgot. He said, when I went in the Army, they sent me to Fort Dix. He says, they fed me Army food. He said, for the first time in my life, I didn't have indigestion. I didn't feel nauseous. I didn't know what was wrong with me, so I went to the doctor. You know, he grew up on bad Jewish food, you know, and it was a very funny joke. That's kind of the sense of humor that I have, to be honest with you, when I can. And it's not easy to maintain a sense of humor with Obama the destroyer in the White House and with McCain the cluck in the outhouse. 855-407-282. We've been bashing John McCain, and it's not easy to do. And how many of you feel a little ambivalent about it? Because we all love John McCain. We loved, and I put the word D on it. We all loved John McCain until he went over to the other side. And he went over to the other side when he ran against Obama in 08. I remember it very, very distinctly. He could have won that election. He had it in his hands. And I'll never forget, a few weeks before the election, an elderly lady got up and said to him, why are you so nice to Obama? Why, he's a Muslim. And McCain said, oh, no, he's a nice man just like us, and he's got a nice family. That was the end of McCain. He could have marshaled America against the enemy within that was growing, the man with no resume whatsoever, the man who came from nowhere. No one even knew who Obama was. No one had ever heard of him. No one even knows who he is. McCain was a certifiable American hero at the time. He could have been president. For all of his flaws, he certainly would have been a better president than Obama. But he didn't win because he was told not to win. He was told to take a fall. It was like the harder they come. I mean, he was told to take a fall. Then the rest is history. So was the next setup guy. He almost won. Remember? Remember him? The Mormon guy who I loved for a while. I liked him anyway. Won the first debate. He smeared the floor with Obama. Obama looked like what he is without the teleprompter. A thin guy, no resume, no verve. He was completely shattered by Romney. Shattered. He was wrecked. People were excited. They were running through the streets saying Romney's going to win. And then Romney was taken out and told what to do, to throw the next two. And then they brought in that fat slob, Candy Crowley, and the other one, the baggy-eyed creep from CBS, to ask thrown questions. You know, like putting out lies about the Navy shooting, that there was an AR-15, which there wasn't, so that Dianne Feinstein could cover up the shopping carts and other scandals and go into the assault weapons ban that she hides behind. Yeah. Tell us about the postal deal. Tell us about the postal deal so that people don't go postal, Dianne. 855-400-7282. There's lots of callers out there. Let's go to WABC in New York. It's a beautiful night in San Francisco. Very summery. I personally don't like it. I wish it was snowing like in Helsinki, but all right, I'll live with it. Colin, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I am a big fan. I am a Catholic priest, and I heard you mention earlier about the Pope's comments that apparently have been published about...
Yeah, it's a shocker. It's on the Drudge Report right now, where the Pope says the church should stop obsessing over gays and abortion. We have to find a new balance. How do you feel about that?
Well, as a Catholic priest, I'm pretty distressed about it, to tell you the truth, because I don't think he realizes how the American media spins things, and the New York Times has it on its webpage already that it's faulting Catholics for being obsessed about abortion and
right. Right. 6 months into his papacy, Pope Francis sent shockwaves to the Roman Catholic Church on Thursday with the publication of his remarks that the church has grown obsessed with abortion, gay marriage, and contraception, and that he had chosen not to talk about those issues despite recriminations from critics. His surprising comments came in a lengthy interview in which he criticized the church for putting dogma before love and for prioritizing moral doctrines over serving the poor and marginalized. He sounds like a stone-hearted Marxist to me.
Well, I won't go that far, I think.
Oh, I would go that far. You see, again, you can't say because he's the Pope he's above criticism. He's becoming very political right now. He's suddenly no longer a religious leader, now he's a political leader. And now that he's stepped into the world of politics, we have the right to criticize him as a politician, I think.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying? His job is to lead the spiritual needs of Catholics around the world. Not to suddenly attack the church on political grounds. Thank you for the call. At least that's how I see it. See, when they step out of the pulpit and become political, I believe that we have the right to say, wait a minute, Pope, you're now violating the separation of church and state. And if you're stepping into the business of the state, we have a right to comment on it, Mr. Pope. At least that's how I see it. And he says, what, putting dogma before love? Well, let me tell you what happens when you put love above everything. You wind up with a cesspool called America. Because it's not love to give everyone a pass. Let me tell you that right now. You can't give murderers love. You can't give child rapists love. You can't give love to Al-Qaeda members who are lurking everywhere around us in this country. Love? No, no, my friend. Watch out with the love BS. There's a limit to what you can do with love. Well, love is wonderful when you can afford it, not in a time like ours. And as the early Israelis learned about love, they learned to carry a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other. That's why there's still a state of Israel. If they had only carried the Bible and only focused on love, Israel never would have been formed and there'd be no Jewish nation whatsoever, for better or for worse, however you look at it. Okay, love is a nice doctrine. You can save love for, when it's appropriate, like in a bedroom or in a nursery or in a schoolroom. But this whole idea of universal love to strangers is absurd, frankly. I don't mean you have to be rude and nasty to strangers. I'm not that way. But you can't let strangers step on you, can you? I mean, think about it. There's a limit to love. What does love mean? And as I said to you many times in the Savage Nation, let me give you a little educated statement on the word love. We're limited by our language, English. In English, there's only one word for love. It means love. I love my wife. I love my girlfriend. I love my dog. I love this pizza. I love my computer. I love my car. I love those tires. I love my shoes. All the same word, love. But in Latin, there are 16 verbs for love. And so there's a different verb for I love my pizza than I love my wife. A different verb for I love my tires from I love my life. And so you have to be understanding and cognizant of the fact that we're limited by our language. Maybe that's a little beyond talk radio. I realize it's not too ummy enough. It might be chummy, but it isn't ooh. And you got to watch me tonight on television. We'll be talking about ooh, chem, acha. And we'll talk more about it later with another interview. Ahem, Achor will be on. Not 9 o'clock, and now it's 10 o'clock, but soon it'll be 11, 12, 13 o'clock. Soon I'll be on a tape at 1 in the morning. I'm glad I discovered my family. I can't spend any more time with my family. I never knew they were there. Now that I've been bounced back an hour on Fox News, I'm glad I found the family. I want to spend more time with my family. I didn't know I had a family. Now I have a family. I love the family. I want to be with the family. I'm thankful that Murdoch threw me off and put me in another later hour. Thank God Mr. Ailes discovered that I had a family, pushed me back an hour. Ahem, ahu, ahim, and em, I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is an effective president, and not only that, he has the power of being a largely nonpartisan president. If the Democrats had any complaint about the president, it's that he's not complaining about the do-nothing Republican president, do-nothing Republican Congress. You know that. That's one of the major complaints. But that's not who he is. He's more, that's not what he brought to the White House.
A lunatic. A lunatic only in America. A woman who channels a granddaughter on whether to bomb Syria is now calling Obama a nonpartisan president, apolitical. A lunatic. Lunacy, pure lunacy. In a normal, sane society, every newspaper would be running a headline, a banner in my day. Loony Pelosi says Obama apolitical. Loony ex-speaker. Is she nuts? I grew up in the glorious age of newspapers. Daily news, banner headlines at night. Trucks racing around Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island. Trucks throwing batches of newspapers off the back of their truck. And as a kid, no matter what age you were, you'd look, you'd peek at the headlines. They kept you going. It was exciting. They were Victorian in their impact on people. Banner headlines were written by men who had the guts to write headlines criticizing politicians. Loony ex-speaker says, most partisan president in history, nonpartisan. Loony Speaker Pelosi channels granddaughter whether to bomb Syria. Lying president says raising debt ceiling does not increase our debt. You see that on the Drudge Report? Raising debt ceiling does not increase our debt. That's the nonpartisan president, Obama. I swear to God, this is doublespeak right out of Orwell. Obama says raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt, though it has over 100 times. How does he get away with it? Simple. The people are drugged and there is no press anymore. There's no there anymore. In a speech at the Business Roundtable headquarters in Washington, D.C., Obama dismissed concerns about raising the debt ceiling by noting that it had been done so many times in the past. He says, raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt. What? What? People would say the guy's nuts. How could he get away with it? Why? There's no press. That's all. There's no there. I think he needs another vacation. Personally, I think the president's worked so hard. I mean, look, since he's back from Martha's Vineyard, look what's happened. You got Syria, then you had the Navy Yard shooting. I mean, he's long overdue for another vacation. I think he and the wife and kids ought to go away again. Another little trip. Somewhere, they need maybe Hawaii now. It's nice there this time of year. September, October, always the nicest months in Hawaii. I don't know what he's doing in Washington. I have no idea. I mean, he needs to refresh. He needs to reset. He needs to reset his thinking. After all, he just saved the world from World War III, even though he just almost started World War III. And now he's saying raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt. I think he's a little overworked. He needs a vacation. 8-5-5-400-7282. 8-5-5-700. I don't even know the number in Italian. 8-5-5-400-7282. Oh, I love the Italian people. I have so much fun up there. I know I haven't been there in so long. Trying not to eat Italian food anymore. What I'm doing is eating Chinese food and going to North Beach to have a drink. I'm cheating on my Italian friends. I'm going to Chinatown having Chinese food, then coming and having a drink at an Italian restaurant, and then saying I have indigestion. It's the theater of the absurd. The world through your stomach. How much can a person eat? Do you ever think about how much food you push through your gut? It's awful. Sometimes I have like an overwhelming idea of how consumptive we are as beings. I added up all the eggs I've eaten, all the bread I've eaten over my lifetime, like the chops. Like if you line them up, like in a, let's say you're in a warehouse. And here's Michael. Here is the food he has consumed at his age by now. So here's a stack of like 8 million eggs, 14 million sauce. You know what I'm saying? 25,000 cartons of butter. I mean, you know, this is before I even understood what food was. Here is Michael since 30 years ago. There'd be crates of avocados, crates of organic tomatoes, tankers full of white wine, truckloads of beer, crates filled with vodka, all through one human being. No wonder we'd get sick and die young. You know, think about how much can your body take? You have to become almost Zen monk-like. They don't live long anyway. That's another myth. You know, you go to these monasteries. Oh, man, look at that guy. He leads such a pristine life. Like he licks Mountain Dew in the morning and he chants all day. Died at 68 of a coronary. How do you figure that? What's that from? They're very stressful in monasteries. A very stressful life, incidentally. You think it isn't. It's a pecking order, number one. Like there's the head monk, then the second monk, then the third monk, the fourth monk, fifth monk, then there's the peons. And they're, even though they're all chanting, and to the outside, they all look like they get along. They don't. They just with a turn of a lip, the guy is put down. He goes into a paroxysm of a nervous breakdown. It's the same in any organization. You put people together, there's a pecking order. And I know this from working in villages in the South Pacific, that at the end of the day, humans are competitive, and there's always a pecking order, which is why I choose to be with my dog as regularly as possible. Because there's no question who the boss is. It's him. 855-400-7282. Just trying to lighten it up a bit. We live in such difficult times, and it's so late at night across America. And I wanted to say to you, I had my Lou Gehrig moment when I looked at the beautiful cityscape. It's dark now. Dusk left already. Now it's black. It's already black already. But at that moment that I saw dusk here in San Francisco, I had that Lou Gehrig moment where I felt I was the luckiest man on earth. I was like Lou Gehrig without Lou Gehrig's disease. And I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to reduce the severity of ALS. My PhD dissertation was in part about ALS. So believe me, I understand what a tragic disease it can be, because it had affected many South Sea Islanders who had acquired an illness very similar to ALS based upon foods they were eating, incidentally. But that's a topic for another day. What I wanted to tell you was this. Yesterday we did a show on ELF on the guy's gun, the shooter's gun, his ELF gun, extra low frequency sounds, and he alleged that he was being blasted by the CIA into committing murder. Remember that? So I laid down at night and I said, what if the guy was, you know, what if he was having his brain battered by the government to set him off? To wipe Syria off the, you know, people think this way. So then I started to tune into extra low frequency sounds, and I got a little spooked. I said, Michael, there are microwaves all around you. You're living on an earth where there's billions of signals at all times, cell phones, you name it. If you tune into them, you're going to go insane. You know what I did to stop that thinking? I want to show you the power of the human mind. I said, you have an extra high frequency capacity to tune into God. You are a God-fearing man. You have been all your life. You don't need to go to a church or a synagogue to tap into the higher power, the extra high frequency of God. And you know what? All of those fears left me in a moment. So no matter what you may fear, I said to myself, always remember, you can meditate to God. That's what religion is. And I realized at that moment, that's what prayer is, why people are so addicted to it. You understand the power of prayer, what they're really doing, the very religious? Is tuning into a different frequency. It's a whole frequency they're tuning into in order to tune out of the from the cesspool we are in. The religious tune in to the brainwaves coming from God. Remember that the next time you get freaked. At least it's one man's opinion.
Well, my friend,
Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation for Thursday, the 19th of September in the year 2013. You know, John McCain, who has become one of the strangest Stockholm Syndrome types of our time, and I take my hat off to the service he gave to this country in the years he suffered under the hands of the cruel Vietnamese torturers, but he has become a clear and present danger to this republic. Everything he allegedly fought against, he is fighting for, in my estimation. The most astonishing thing happened. McCain wrote an editorial in the Russian newspaper Pravda to counter Putin. And what's shocking is everything he accused Putin of doing in Russia, we have refuted and shown him and his cohorts in America, meaning the Republicrats, are doing to us in this country. Did you hear what I'm saying? For example, he wrote this. He said, President Putin and his associates do not believe in these values. They don't respect your dignity or accept your authority over them. And then I wrote, that is why he supports a serious strike, even though the majority of the people do not. That is why he supports Obamacare, even though the majority of the people do not. And the biggest is, 90% of the American people oppose amnesty for the illegal aliens from Mexico, and yet Obama and McCain are forcing it down our throats as they did Obamacare. McCain wrote that in Putin's Russia, they rig your elections. And I wrote, you mean like your Black Panthers, ACORN, like gerrymandering districts to destroy Alan West, Senator McCain? He then says they control your media in Russia. Are you kidding, McCain? You only grant interviews to specific reporters like your boss Obama does. You then write that in Russia, they harass, threaten, and banish organizations that defend your right to self-governance. Really, John McCain? And what did you do to the Tea Party? And what about the NSA spying that you said nothing about? You then write that in Russia, they perpetuate their power. They force the rampant corruption in your courts and your economy. And they terrorize journalists who try to expose their corruption. Really, McCain? When have you last spoken out on Michael Savage being banned from Britain? You lying, double-talking thing, you. Well, you get the picture. We've deconstructed John McCain's Pravda list for you today on the Savage Nation, and it is up on michaelsavage.com. We've also looked into McCain's service. You don't know what he did while he was in the U.S. Naval Air Service, a tailhooker, do you? In 1967, there was a fire aboard the aircraft carrier USS Forrestal. There were explosions that killed 134 sailors and injured 161 on the aircraft carrier USS Forrestal. The official report says it was an unusual electrical anomaly that discharged the Zuni rocket on the flight deck. The damage exceeded $502 million today, not including damage to jet planes. But, are you ready for what followed? Surviving crewmen and those who investigated the Forrestal fire, okay, reported that John McCain deliberately wet-started his A4E Skyhawk to shake up the guy behind him in the F4 Phantom. Wet starts are done either deliberately, where the starter motor switch is allowed, permits kerosene to pull in the engine and give a wet start, or accidentally to shoot a large flame from the tail of his aircraft. It is believed by many crewmen and investigators that John McCain deliberately wet started his A4E to shake up the guy in the plane behind his A4. You see, wet starts shoot a large flame from the tail of the aircraft. In John McCain's case, the wet start apparently cooked off and launched the Zuni rocket from the rear F4 that touched off the explosions that killed 134 sailors and injured 161. This SOB, John McCain, has been wet starting his senatorial seat ever since he was put into that position. Also, if you look up daredevil piloting of McCain, you'll find that during the course of his flying career with the U.S. Navy, Senator John McCain was involved in at least 5 major mishaps or crashes involving his plane. Well, we talked about the Forrestal, right? But there are other reports of what McCain did. There was a Corpus Christi accident on March 12, 1960, which concluded that the AD-6 Skyraider trainer crashed because McCain failed to maintain an airspeed above the stall speed. It attributed the accident to, quote, the preoccupation of the pilot coupled with a power setting too low to maintain level flight. The single-engine prop plane sank to the bottom of Corpus Christi Bay. McCain was rescued by a helicopter after swimming to the surface. Well, the accident report excluded a series of other possible factors, including engine failure and disorientation of the pilot due to vertigo. It recorded pilot error as the, quote, sole contributing factor to the accident. I think McCain has been suffering vertigo ever since he entered Congress, by the way. Well, you get the picture. There are other accidents. He said he knocked down power lines while flying too low over southern Spain. Did you know that? He said, my daredevil clowning had cut off electricity to a great many Spanish homes and created a small international incident. Did you know that? See, McCain has always been, let's say, a bit of a freak and crazy. And guess what? He's killed people in the past through his negligence. And let me tell you something else, John McCain. Here's an adage from the Navy from World War II, John. Loose lips sink ships. Check out John McCain's so-called rebuttal of Putin in Pravda and my rebuttal of McCain on michaelsavage.com. This is the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282 is the phone number, 855-400-7282. There's been a report today from the FBI Director James Comey, who gave new details on the Navy Yard shooting, which I will disclose to you momentarily. Navy Yard murderer Aaron Alexis created a webpage with the name Mohammed Salem. That was not disclosed today by the FBI director. But law enforcement officials told NBC News that Alexis, the Navy Yard shooter, created a webpage with the name Mohammed Salem. Gee, and I thought he was a Buddhist. Unless Buddhists are now named Mohammed, I'm a little confused by this. In other news, the House has voted to end food stamps for 3.8 million deadbeat Americans. And, of course, they were attacked for this by the communist, liberal, laborites on the other side. All they did was say, we got to cut off food stamps somewhere. They cut it off for 3.8 million deadbeats who don't really have any rights to food stamps. And predictably, Ohio Democrat Marsha Fudge, whoever she is, said, today's insult, today's vote is not only a waste of time, but an insult to every American in need. Not to be outdone, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said the legislation amounted to snatching food out of the hands of the poor. Right, okay. I wonder how much of it winds up in the hands of Nevada politicians. Food stamps. So that's another story. The contractor behind vetting Snowden vetted the Washington shooter. The U.S. government contractor who vetted Edward Snowden, who then leaked information about national surveillance programs, is the same contractor that performed the so-called background check on the Washington Navy Yard shooter. It's called USIS, a unit of Falls Church, Virginia-based Altegrity, Inc. And take a guess how much money of taxpayers' dollars they took last year. The so-called Office of Personnel Mismanagement, which conducts most federal background checks, paid USIS $250 million for its great work last year. Settle back and relax, because I'm trying to give you information that is really up to the level of the last word in talk radio. And I'll tell you, what I dug up for you today with my great staff on McCain should be circulated widely. You should pick it up. We're going to put it on michaelsavage.com, and you should send it to friends on social media. This guy, having crashed his planes, having set off the Zuni rocket, having almost sunk an aircraft carrier, has no business in the Senate, and he certainly has no business criticizing Putin, because virtually everything he said that is going on in Russia under Putin is certainly going on in America under the Obama-McCain troika. There's actually another person in that troika who I don't have to mention. You can add your favorite name. The phone number is 855-407-282. Let's begin with a few calls, then I'll continue deconstructing McCain's letter to Pravda on the Savage Nation. KTBL, New Mexico. KTBL, Daniel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Savage. Sorry, a little bit off topic. I just finished your first novel, and I absolutely love it. And when you said your book should be a movie, I totally agree.
Absolutely. Abusive Power is a fabulous movie. In fact, I did scenes for it with my own video camera when I wrote it. Unfortunately, because of my conservative politics, the Weinsteins of Hollywood, the Caesars of Sedniet, like Khrushchev, they banged their shoe down on the tables in Hollywood, and they said that man will never be produced in Hollywood. So I don't care. One day I may do it as a video, put it up on the internet myself. It's that simple. You know the cost? I don't want to get into it, but I could produce that movie myself. I know a friend who had a best-selling movie in the movie theaters. He told me that I could produce a feature for $300,000 in video and launch it on the internet today. I could bypass the studios, and I could bypass movie theaters. Do you know that?
Oh, wow. You know,
yep. So that's one day I may do Abuse of Power in a Time for War. And I don't know who's going to play Dover. I got to get a young woman to play Dover. We'll find them there. They're pretty readily available to naval intelligence women. Maybe someone fired. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation to take your calls at 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'll give you the latest news headlines in this hour and go back to the, I would say, deconstructing McCain's letter to Pravda in a little while. Here's some headlines. John Kerry gives statement on Syria. Well, that's worthless. Mars methane mystery deepens. The only thing I can figure out is that Larry David and his family took a secret trip to Mars after visiting Katz's Delicatessen. 2013 National Book Award long list for fiction announced. The titles are Why I Hate America, How to Hate America, You Should Hate America, Hating America, 50 Reasons to Hate America, Death to the American Family, and Why America is Damned. Those are the books that are on the long list for fiction in the New America. 855-400-7282. Let's go to the callers on the program. Alaska Marty, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Michael, God bless you. You're the only one that has come out with McCain's record
of his hot dogging.
Well, do you happen to know much about his past, or is this the first time you heard it?
No, I am a U.S. Navy submariner's widow.
Oh, so you heard about this from your husband, your deceased husband, right?
That's right. And plus, I know a lot of Navy vets and Marine vets, and they know about it, too.
Right. He was a daredevil, which on one hand, being a daredevil is required to be a great naval aviator. That's number one. But there's an extremely razor-thin line between being a daredevil and being capable of controlling those instincts to land a jet on a carrier, you know, the tailhook. It's one of the most difficult jobs on Earth, and I've always admired them. I think that they're amongst the most skilled people on the planet. A combination of, you have to be a ballet dancer, a computer expert, a warrior, all in one. Am I right?
Right.
And McCain apparently had some of those subsets in his skills, but not all of them. And he could not control his daredevil instincts. He was last in his class at Annapolis. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Now, the reason I'm doing this on McCain is because I've had enough of people holding back on him simply because he suffered so badly in Vietnam. That you should blame the Vietnamese for, that they tortured him. But that doesn't give him a pass to become an outright enemy of America, which is what he has become. This SOB, this old war hawk, almost ignited World War III with that strange sisterhood of his with, what's his name, Lindsey Graham. They were on the warpath to bomb Syria when the whole world said, halt, slow, don't do it. Am I right?
Right.
So how do you explain McCain doing it? Because he has no judgment. When I was working for my PhD at the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition, my lead professor, who was a great man, said to me, I remember we were having lunch, and he said to me, one of the first things to go in the elderly is their judgment. I didn't quite know what he meant because I was still in my 30s at the time. But I think that McCain's judgment has clearly gone. He doesn't even understand what he is saying half the time. He is too old to be in the Senate. I think there needs to be an upper age limit in the U.S. Senate, by the way, seeing what McCain is doing. We cannot have these octogenarian types running around, shooting off their mouths when so much is at stake. He's become a useful tool of Obama and the New World Order of psychopaths.
He has. Also, are you aware that when he did come back, that his father would not allow him to be debriefed?
What do you mean? He wouldn't let the Navy debrief McCain as to what went on in the camps?
When he was tortured, anyhow, they also go through another psychological debriefing to take away what they brainwashed into him.
So his father wouldn't let them deprogram that? Well, okay, that could have been a combination of his father's love for his son, not wanting him to be retortured by the American Psychiatric Association in the military. Anyway, look, I think enough is said here. The man is senile. He's crossed over to the other side. He wants to flood America with illegal aliens. He wants to drop bombs instead of negotiating. And virtually everything the man does is questionable as far as I'm concerned. Thanks for the call. 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. 407-282. We'll go on with the McCain letter to Pravda in a moment. Let's go to some callers, though. KLIF in Dallas, Texas. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I want to congratulate you and your staff on your research on this. This is the first I'd heard this on McCain, and it's quite uplifting, as is every one of your shows, and I try to listen just as often as I can.
No, I love hearing that. Let me tell you, I work very hard at my show. This is an all-day job for me and three men who work full-time pulling, you know, stories for me. So when I saw McCain's letter to Pravda, I read it. And what struck me was almost everything that he wrote about what's wrong with Russia under Putin applies to America under Obama and the liberals like McCain. So what we did was is that we broke it down into 20 main points, and then we showed where in America the same thing is happening.
Wonderful. You did wonderful research. I just finished A Time for War, and it was a page-turner. I could not...
Wow. Well, I'm hearing a lot of people are suddenly reading A Time for War, the paperback, and I'm really happy that people are catching on to my fictionalized view of the world. Jim, thanks for listening on KLIF. It's a pleasure to be on the radio. It really is. Today, I come into the city, into San Francisco, and luckily so far, there have been no naked people on street signs closing down the downtown. You know, so far, the traffic's moving as usual. Andrew on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I was in awe of your list, your comparison, the filmmaker being locked up, the NIS scandal, and the Tea Party harassment.
Yeah, let me repeat it. John McCain wrote an attack on Putin for the Russian people in Pravda. And in the letter, he says they throw the members of a punk rock band in jail for the crime of being provocative and vulgar and for having the audacity to protest President Putin's rule. And I said, what about here, Mr. McCain, where anti-Islam filmmaker Nakula Basili Nakula, who did the video Innocence of Muslims about Benghazi, which allegedly was connected to the Benghazi attack, is thrown in jail here in America? How different is that than what's going on in Russia? What, are people stupid? They don't see this?
It was brilliant. And I'm driving around. I was in awe of it, but at the same time, I wanted to punch the window because so few.
Good. That's good. That's good radio. Just don't punch the window.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Today, I come into the city, into San Francisco, and luckily so far, there have been no naked people on street signs closing down the downtown. So I got to tell you an incident just as a break. I have no patience to wait in restaurants, as you know. I just don't have the patience for it. So I become somewhat of a gourmet of cheap like takeout stands, whether it be, what's the foot-long sandwich for $8? What is it called? I love Subway. So I have Teddy with me today in the city. I don't go to Subway because I can't get him a sandwich. They don't make an inch-long sandwich, so I couldn't go in there. So instead, I went into a sushi place, which I will warn you, never go into this sushi place in San Francisco, which is adjacent to the Hyatt Hotel in an alley where there's a pizzeria. I went in there once before, and when I get very hungry, before lunch, I sometimes have some sushi, even though it's on my no-eat list. They're mainland Japanese, and they bow and scrape. So I think, all right, just give me the $8.95. One deluxe! So she brings in the deluxe, the chicken teriyaki. It has this, it has that. I went outside and sat with the dog, and I start to eat the chicken, and I realized that it was all fat and grizzle that was thrown sauce on it. So I sat there, I ate the rice, I was so hungry. I ate the tempura, and then I got angry, and I said, I'm not going to take this. I go back in, and I say to him, hey, I open the tray up, and I show it to him, Mr. Tokyo, and I said, it's all fat and waste. He says, no, all meat. I said, it's all meat? Why don't you give it to your mother? He says, no, it's all meat. I said, why don't you give it to your mother, or why don't you eat it? I won't eat it. Send it to your mother, I said. And I walked out. I wouldn't go any further than that because I'm not, let us say, as hot-tempered as I used to be 20 years ago. It would have gotten a little hotter than that if I were younger. There could have been a little throw against the wall, a little grab of the collar, but I don't do that anymore. I just left it with him in front of other people on his counter. So he said, well, why are you telling me this? Because I'm showing you what they do to people in this city, maybe in your city. They will spit on you. They'll strip you naked in this country and throw you on the third rail if they could get away with it. At all times, do what the Boy Scouts do. You must be prepared to defend yourself, even if it's in a sushi joint in an alley in San Francisco. So I said, well, I'm still hungry. Now what am I going to do? I said, Teddy, come on. You didn't need anything. Let's go to McDonald's where you can get a decent meal for your money. So I go to McDonald's. He looks forward to it. I say, hamburger, hamburger. I get him the junior burgers, no salt, no pepper, no mustard, no sauce. I get him two of those. And I think then I bought myself yet another lunch that poisoned me. And I said, what the heck are you doing? You wrote books on nutrition. I said, why am I eating French fries in this garbage? And you know what I hear the answer? He said, like, on my right shoulder was the conscience saying, why are you eating that bad food? It will clog your arteries. It is bad for you. On the left side was, go ahead. How long do you think you're going to live? And the other one says, you shut up. He shouldn't be eating that. The other one says, are you crazy? Go ahead, eat it. Obama's such a horrible president. What do you care if your arteries are a little occluded by that point? So it went on like that for a while as I was eating the French fries. And before I knew it, I was up here in front of the microphone giving you the latest headlines and the latest scoop on things going on in the United States of America and the world. 855-400-7282. Obama says Americans are wrong about Obamacare. He says it's going to be a good deal. Would you buy a used medical plan from this man? about as much as you'd buy a used car from Obama. Would you buy a used, let's say, 300,000-mile Chevrolet from Obama? That's like buying Obamacare from Obama. Look, my show is news, views, and reviews. You know that. I gave you the news already. You know, doctor, give me the news. It's not too good. I mean, you know, how much can I give you the bad news? It's like an oncologist keep telling you the cancer is spreading. Every day you tune in, the next day you hear it's spread. There's a metastasis. It went a little further into the arm, the hand, the leg. What can I tell you? Even the far left has turned on Obama. Even the far left is screaming about Obama. Even the far left is screaming about Feinstein and the deals with the post office. They finally have seen through their corruption. So when I get in one of my really bad moods, which is about as often as you can imagine lately, there's not been too many good moods during the day. I'm hunkered down. I rarely go out of the house. I don't even leave the house. I can't. I don't even enjoy going to restaurants. It's all like takeout in a dark room. I write the fiction. I write the nonfiction. And I wrote A Time for War about a year ago, and it's out in paperback. And it's an important book in a way because of the Office of Naval Intelligence. It opens with the scene about the Navy SEALs being set up and killed in a Chinook helicopter, and they plummet to Earth and die in Afghanistan. It hurt me so badly that no one talked about it, so I led my book with that. And so far as I know, not one Navy SEAL has bought the book. See, this is the thing that riles me. Let me let it all hang out for you right now. I kill myself for this country. I kill myself for the Navy SEALs, the military, the Marines. And I'm sure many of them appreciate the show. I have never gotten a letter of thanks from a Navy SEAL organization. I've never gotten an invitation to a Navy SEAL event. I've never been invited to a U.S. Marine Corps event, not even a funeral. I have done everything I can for them. I raised money for those falsely accused in Iraq. Remember when Bush gave you court-martials, your buddies, your brothers in arms? Who was the only one who went to bat for them? Me. The others were selling floor mats and toupees and copies of the U.S. Constitution while I was raising money for your brothers in arms. They were invited, but I wasn't. So you say, well, what's the vitriol for? Well, I don't know. It's in me. I can't take it anymore. Frankly, I've had enough of living for others. I can't take it, Teddy. My dog's looking at me like I'm about to explode. He sees the feet and the motion already. I look like a spastic walking around here with the microphone in the studio. Because I've reached a limit of what I'm going to do. I can't take it. I feel like a man alone. I got to tell you something. I feel like I'm alone. I know I have a large audience, and I predict that it's going to be even larger before you know it. But that's really in God's hands. It's not even in my hands. I got to tell you that. It's in hands well beyond me if my prediction comes true. But beyond that, it's actually in God's hands, not in my hands. That whole radio thing and the book thing. And I got to tell you something else. I never stop writing. I am writing almost like an automaton. My mind never turns off. Never. I don't even know how I got this far in life, how I'm not dead yet from like a stroke or a heart attack. Because the rate at which I burn is actually almost inhuman. I look like I'm not thinking, but I can't take the company of anyone anymore. I can't be around people. The only company I can take without freaking out is the dog. Ask anyone around me, and I don't mean to be this way. My mind is so churning ideas, so agitated over what this country is becoming under this fraud and this trickster in the White House, the war we almost got into, that I can't talk to people anymore. I have such disappointment in them because I sort of reflect my anger on them. Okay, well, anyway, I got that out of my system, at least for the moment, till the show is over, and then it'll come flailing back at me. The point I'm making is quite simple. We're living in the most difficult times imaginable because it's a netherworld. The world is still good in so many ways. The sky is blue. The clouds are white. The sun rises every morning. You understand that? And there's a relatively low crime rate in the country. But if you're really focused on what's going on under this fraudster and trickster, you can see the handwriting on the wall. I am like Lynkeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts. I've always been in that role. I don't care what my detractors may say. It's because they're looking at my derriere as I climb the highest mast. I'm on the highest mast in the media. And I can see farther ahead than anybody in the media. And I don't like what I see. And if I scream iceberg ahead and you say he's crazy, we'll see who's crazy because we've already hit the iceberg. So instead of slowing the ship down and repairing the damage to the hull, they bring out that minuscule lunatic, Bernanke, today, the man who destroyed the country, And he says, instead of stopping the bleeding, instead of stopping the bleeding of money, instead of stopping the inflation that is being hidden, I'm going to print more money in the form of a quantitative easing, which is just jargon for printing money, as in the Weimar Republic. But at some point, my friends, if you study the history of economic collapse, at some point, the piper must be paid. And it doesn't matter whether they get us into a third world war, which is what they almost did to boost up the economy. Make no mistake about it. That was part of Obama's calculation. A good hot war in the Middle East. Wow. What a threefer that would have been. Israel would have been paid back. The economy would have been booming. The contractors would be happy and pour more money into the hands of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her cohorts who invent things. It couldn't have been better. But for some reason, maybe it was Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter herself who stopped the war. I don't know. They say Putin stopped the war. But it could have been Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter who could have spoken to Nini. The granddaughter could have said, Nini, no war. We don't know what actually stopped the war. It could be Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter who should get the Nobel Peace Prize, not Putin. Anyway, I'm just musing here on the Savage Nation. And don't take anything I say seriously. I'm not an important man. I'm not a serious journalist. After all, I didn't go to the Columbia School of Journalism. I didn't go to the University of California School of Journalism or one of the journalism schools in between. There are a few here and there. I've met them somewhere in the Middle West. I didn't go to any of those schools. Dianne Feinstein would prohibit me from even speaking. The same Dianne Feinstein, whose husband is involved with the post office sales, just last week said that journalists should be certified by the government. Do you understand what she's trying to do? And do you understand why she said that? Because the left turned on her and they were exposing her in even the most minuscule way. She got crazy. She said, they're not journalists. The only journalists are those approved by journalism schools, which will come through a company we just set up called the Richard Blum School of Journalism Approval Society. We'll now approve all journalists in America. And it's going to cost $100,000, is like a taxi license, a medallion, to be a journalist in the new America under the Feinstein rule. Well, anyway, you get the picture if you're following me. If you're not following me, you don't have the, what can I say? You haven't been hit by the beam, Scotty. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
John McCain, basically gone over to the other side. And today, I'll admit it, I have attacked him. Let's not mince words. I'm attacking him for a couple of reasons. I don't know him personally, but I think that his behavior has become so shameful and strange, and he has become sort of a sacred cow amongst conservatives because of his service and his torture, that no one dare say what needs to be said. The man today wrote an editorial in Pravda trying to attack Putin, and of course they don't write their own things, but it was so glaringly absurd for McCain to point things out that are wrong with Russia when I saw the very same things going on here. For example, I'm going to run through some of the other points now. Here's what McCain wrote in Pravda about Putin. He said, President Putin and his associates do not believe in these values. They don't respect your dignity or accept your authority over them. That is why he supports a serious strike.
About what you believe is right for America. And that's the same for me as President of the United States. There are a whole bunch of decisions that I make that are unpopular, as you well know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a great man.
Our polling operations are pretty good. But,
you're a great man. You're a great American.
I have a pretty good sense of
The point is that McCain wrote in Pravda that Putin and his associates do not believe in American values. They don't respect your dignity or accept your authority over them. And yet we just heard Obama doing exactly what he says Putin is doing in Russia, right? In the next sentence, which I deconstructed, McCain wrote in Pravda, trying to attack Putin, he said, in Russia they punish dissent and imprison opponents. And I pointed out, how about the IRS under Obama targeting Tea Party groups and the spying of the NSA on Americans? Listen to the montage of people targeted by the IRS in clip two.
We applied for our tax status in 2010. We waited 18 months. They sent these letters that wanting a lot of information they weren't allowed to ask us.
Send us your Facebook pages, your Twitter pages. And I said, does that include personal pages? And they said everything. They wanted to know your personal relationships with politicians and political parties. And I asked, what would happen if I don't send this to you? And they said, they made an insinuation like, look, it can be considered perjury if you omit things from the IRS. And that carries with it jail time. I'm a pregnant stay-at-home mother on one income. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not doing anything. I stopped.
They punish dissent and imprison opponents. Really, only in Russia? Is that true, Mr. McCain? They control your media. How about in America, Mr. McCain? In line 9, you say that they throw the members of a punk rock band in jail for the crime of being provocative and vulgar and for having the audacity to protest Putin's rule. How about Obama throwing anti-Islam filmmaker Nakula Basita Nakula, who did Innocence of Muslims, in jail? He was a Coptic Christian. He was thrown in prison by your wonderful friend, Barack Obama. Really? No kidding. So now let's go down the list. You said that he has given you, meaning Putin has given you, an economy that is based almost entirely on a few natural resources that will rise and fall with those commodities. Its riches will not last. And while they do, they will be mostly in the possession of the corrupt and powerful few. Oh, really? In the hands of the corrupt and powerful few? You mean like your friends at Solyndra? Or your refusal to build the Keystone XL pipeline so that your corrupt friends in the green mailing industries of, like Solyndra, wind, solar, blah, blah, blah? That's corruption. Let's listen to the next report on Solyndra corruption in clip 2.
Solyndra still owes American taxpayers $500 million, but we caught them destroying millions of dollars worth of parts.
They are the latest, most cutting-edge solar technology, and they're being tossed into dumpsters. Solyndra paid at least $2 million for the specialized glass. And Solyndra still owes the German company that made these another $8
million. We're on private property right now. I need to leave.
Solyndra is not commenting, but court documents reveal the company got permission to abandon the high-grade glass. The court agreeing that it was of inconsequential value because of the cost of storing them exceeds their value.
Did you hear what I just said? McCain, the liar and fool and traitor, wrote an editorial in Pravda and said about Putin, he has given you an economy that is based entirely on a few natural resources that will rise and fall with those commodities. Its riches will not last, and while they do, they will be mostly in the possession of the corrupt and powerful few. And I just showed you what is going on in America under Obama and his cronies in the fraudulent solar wind industries. Now let's go on to this. He says capital is fleeing Russia, which, lacking a rule of law and a broad-based economy, is considered too risky for investment and entrepreneurism. Really, Mr. McCain, how about your friends sending businesses overseas to escape taxes, Mr. McCain? 855-400-7282. Let's go to the callers on the program. WRKO! We have a Boston listener. We have a Boston listener on the great RKO. Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Doctor, I was just wondering, we worry about people like McCain, but, you know, after a while, they become useless, and, you know, you got to label them. And I was just wondering, you know, should we hang something around their neck, you know, a putzy, schmuckless Schmedrick?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people are very sensitive to McCain because he was so badly tortured in Vietnam that we have great sympathy for him. And we all revere and love our warriors, especially those who suffered so much, as we should. However, when they enter such positions as the U.S. Senate and they've moved over to the enemy camp, you can no longer give them a pass, is how I look at it, Kevin. Am I wrong or right?
Well, you try to give them a pass, but, you know, you can't give them a pass forever. I mean, you know, Kerry got a pass in Vietnam, but that didn't help him either. I think what we...
No, but look how the media is covering Kerry. They're calling him a war hero.
That's ridiculous.
By the way, have you noticed that the media has dropped the Navy story, the shooting, after 3 days? Do you know why? Can you give me three reasons why the useless midstream media has dropped the U.S. Navy massacre story? I will give you three of them. The shooter was not white, he did not use an assault weapon, and he was on medication. Does that make sense to you, Kevin?
Well, I think the fourth one also, Doctor, would be that he's got a secret clearance.
And the fourth one is that he played violent video games. The fifth one is the secret clearance. The sixth one is he had a secret website under which his name was Mohammed Salem, which just came out today on NBC News. First I heard of it, right? Navy Yard murderer Aaron Alexis created a webpage with the name Mohammed Salem, and yet the midstream media said that he was a Buddhist. He was not a violent man. He was a Buddhist. Really? In fact, Muslim Brotherhood front groups were concerned that it was jihad. Example, Hamas CAIR canceled a press conference this Tuesday that was going to expose the so-called funding of the Islamophobia industry. There is no funding. There is no funding. But they backed off on their big lie, just like the so-called Million Muslim March, which attracted 30 malcontents.
Savage.